He is now attracted to men after taking painkillers.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Scott Purdy, 23, dumped his girlfriend of 6 months after taking pregabalin and realizing he was attracted to men. Maybe he watched a lot of Adam Levine videos when he was in the hospital.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Adam Levine, man. What a man he is. Adam Levine's one of those guys. He almost transcends sexuality in a way. I mean, I'm not saying I would, you know. But if I was.
On 1340 WKGN.
No, I'm just saying if I was. Think Adam Levine, I mean, he's a good looking man. Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, you've said that a couple times. I think
I just had to get it off my chest. I've been waiting for the right moment.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Jesse Simonton of AllQuest will do his weekly hit with us coming up after headlines. We'll talk some Thrones. We'll talk some Tennessee football, maybe some recruiting with him. But for now, the big guy's on a collision course with headlines, and they clash right now.
Thanks, John.
Did it sound like I said clash or collash? Because I was saying collash. But
collash.
I was hoping I could just extend it to clash.
Collash.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm an idiot that forgets what collage. Words are which.
Isn't that some kind of food? A collage?
Hour two headlines!
Thanks, John. Zion Williamson preferred...
You're welcome.
...the New York Knicks. He whisked out of the room, Jesus Christ, when the Pelicans got the number one pick per a report. So Zion not going to be headed to New York. He's reportedly not happy about it. He briskly walked out of the room, quickly, after the Pelicans were announced the winner of the draft lottery. A source said the former Duke star was rooting to go to New York, but now he'll end up in New Orleans.
They could say that. I think he was actually more upset about not getting in Atlanta, but whatever.
Is there any chance that Zion does not end up in New Orleans? The Pelicans do have options.
No, I don't think there's any way. Unless he just goes completely like John Elway, Eli Manning is like, nope, not coming. Like,
absolutely not coming.
Yeah, like not doing it. Maybe he could force himself to have some leverage. That doesn't really happen in the NBA, though. So there's a chance, I guess, but I'm going to say it's a 1% chance. There's no, like, if you're asking if New Orleans is going to trade the pick willingly, no. They can't trade it for Anthony Davis. They already have Anthony Davis. And his report was that he still wants out. Like, he doesn't care. He doesn't want to play with Zion. He wants to leave.
But is there any way, like, if you're Zion, is there any way to avoid going to New Orleans?
You just have to tell them, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to withdraw from the draft before the draft and go back to school.
Do you think he's considering that?
No. No, I don't.
Simply because of the paycheck?
I would say so.
And would that tarnish his future in some way?
No. It'd be funny if he did that and then the Pelicans won the lottery again the next year. That'd be funny.
Not to Zion.
No. To Zion, that would not be funny. Zion would not enjoy that.
That would be rough.
Plus, I'm sure there's a... I think there's still a deadline to withdraw your name from the draft. I'm sure there is. And then if he doesn't withdraw from the draft, which I think is probably May 29th, I would say, he would be in the draft. And then if they drafted him, they'd own his rights. So I don't even know if he could come back the next year and re-enter the draft. I think they would still own his rights. I don't know how it works. It's a stupid hypothetical. It's not going to happen.
A lot of people are talking about New Orleans being rewarded after the Saints pass interference call.
Good for them.
Making that comparison.
Good for them.
Tiger Woods was asked about John Daly being allowed to use a golf cart this week at the PGA. Tiger said, I walked with a broken leg. So basically implying that John Daly could walk his fat ass around the golf course. Apparently John Daly's being allowed a golf cart.
Well, that's good. Is John Daly still, like, actively golfing? Like a full-time, like a PGA schedule, though?
No, I don't think it's quite like that.
Yeah, like he's just out golfing, sure, but like he's not competitive like on the pro level, right? Okay.
Have you seen Chernobyl? Chernobyl?
On HBO?
Yeah.
No, I haven't yet.
I'm ready to watch that. I've heard it's really good. Parker says he watched it last night, and it was, what was that? Was that that racist hand symbol? I think he's trying to say it was okay, but for some reason he's using a racist gesture. So
that's unfortunate that Parker would do that.
It is.
He said, caught on camera? I hope he wasn't.
I hope not.
Some real weird stuff going on in the Fox Sports Knoxville studios.
He says it was great. Grant Williams told Ali LaForce he's making a decision on Saturday whether or not to go pro after he talked with teams this week. So we have an actual day now.
Saturday?
For Grant Williams. Saturday. That's what he told Ali LaForce. I guess he's close with Ali LaForce in some way.
That selfie they took looked like they were pretty close.
Yeah, except for Andy Katz in it.
Yeah, Andy out here blocking.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, the combine starts today and ends Sunday. So, yeah, he'll have his answer. And I think Grant's going to kill all the interviews with teams. Right? Like, I feel like when a GM talks to him, they're going to come away impressed. And I think he's going to rise in these mock drafts rather than fade. I've seen him anywhere from as high as 13, CBS Sports had him at 13 to the Heat. To around like 26.
Number 13?
Yeah.
That seems high.
If you set the over-under at like 21, I think I'd take the under. I think he'll go top 20. But it'll be a first-round pick regardless. Like, you go get paid, young man.
I'm just ready for Saturday to get here so we can quit talking about him returning to school.
I don't think. Are people talking about him returning to school?
Yes. People still think that there's a chance.
I mean, I guess yesterday he was.
People are holding on to it.
I guess yesterday he was talking about, well, you know, it's appealing to potentially be a three-time SEC Player of the Year. But you know what else is appealing? Millions of dollars.
A big check. Former number three pick, Deion Jordan. You're familiar with him? The former Dolphins and Seahawks defensive end?
That was a guy that when was drafted, you knew he wasn't going to live up to that billing.
Well, he's facing a 10-game suspension now. Can you guess what for?
10-game suspension?
Yes.
He already got in trouble for steroids once, right? For PEDs, so I'd assume it's another PED thing, or no?
Well, yeah, it's performance-enhancing.
Viagra?
No.
Oh. Cocaine?
Not quite.
Crack?
That's further on the scale. Less than cocaine, more than coffee.
Speed?
Adderall?
Adderall.
No. He's always, they always say Adderall. That's what whenever the Seahawks defensive backfield was cheating, they just kept saying they got hit for Adderall, and you're like, wait a second, so your secondary's awesome. They're big, they're strong, they're fast, and they're hurting people, and they're the best secondary in the league, yet they keep getting in trouble for Adderall? No.
I'm sure they're on steroids, too, but, I mean, Adderall is...
Adderall is a banned substance, and it's illegal for the NFL to say which substance they test positive for, so they all go for the one that we all kind of relate to.
So you're saying it's BS.
Hey, you were in college, you remembered...
Just a little Adderall.
It's okay. Bradley Cooper made a movie about it and everyone loved it.
It's not even the extended release. Bradley Cooper made a movie about Adderall?
I mean, no, but yes. What was the movie he made about the pill he had? Limitless?
Oh, Limitless?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was about Adderall?
I mean, people said it was basically like Adderall. I mean, it's supposed to be better than that, but it's like super, super sharp focus, really fast, you're ready to go.
From what I recall with that movie, he had more powers than just...
I never watched it.
...the average.
I mean, maybe I was oversimplifying it by saying...
Yeah, I don't think Adderall lets you time travel.
I don't think he time traveled.
Yeah, there was something in there like that.
I don't think he time traveled.
Yeah, I watched the movie.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I don't remember anything about it, but I watched it.
How confident are you that he didn't time travel?
Wasn't there something when he was...
How confident are you that he time traveled?
Parker said it, so I give it a 6. Wasn't there something where he was like scaled a building or something? He's out on the outside of a skyscraper. Or am I thinking of a different movie?
I mean, you haven't seen my friend AJ in Vegas after taking some Adderall. He does the same things.
Climbs up the
buildings, yeah.
Turns into Spider-Man.
Basically.
He skips time. So, anyway, Deion Jordan facing suspension. The NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported 10 games violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy. His appeal has been denied. He has previously taken Adderall to treat ADHD, but apparently his therapeutic use exemption expired, and he kept taking it as a way to cope with issues not related to football. I thought it was going to help me dial in, he said.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
He also said he's 803 days sober, which seems like a lie.
Aw, come on.
Tate Martell says Ohio State helped facilitate his decision to transfer from the Buckeyes. Basically, they told him to, he said.
Like, yeah, we don't want you around here. Justin Fields is our guy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He actually kind of gave credit to Ryan Day in Ohio State. He said, the good thing that happened was that I was told, so I wasn't in a bad situation. That's the only thing I can say that was good about the situation is they did not lie to me.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk with Jesse Simonson of VolQuest next. We'll talk some Thrones, maybe even a little Survivor, the finales tonight, and then some Tennessee football. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Getting ready to talk Thrones and Vols with my guy Jesse Simonson of VolQuest. Let's bring him on. Jesse, thanks for making time for us as always.
Yeah, man. You recovered from last night?
You text me. That's a true sign of a friend. A true sign of a friend is when you text your friend knowing that they're upset about sports. I had my phone plugged up. I had it put away. 30 minutes later, after I'm over it, I go look at my phone and Jesse had said, "Ah, damn, sorry, man. Sorry about your Hawks." And I gave him the line I gave everybody, which was, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm okay. It could have been worse. I'm fine, Jesse. I'm okay. It could have been worse."
As a former Hawks fan, so I grew up, you know, I was born in just south of Atlanta. I grew up going to games when it was Dikembe and Mookie Blaylock and Steve Smith. I loved those teams. They were always capped because they were never going to beat the Bulls.
Right.
So they were that, you know, mid-50s wins. They were fun teams. And then I kind of faded out when I ended up moving out of Atlanta. The Joe Johnson teams or whatever, if they got Zion, I was going to be all back in. I was going to be back in. And so that was I was fairly disappointed myself. And I was almost seething when I thought the Lakers were going to end up with them. But thankfully, that didn't happen.
I'm more angry New Orleans gets Zion after wasting 7 years of Anthony Davis. But whatever.
Yeah, I agree. It'll make the summer fun for the NBA, though, that's for sure. The dominoes are just going to start to fall now.
I would say that, yeah, the Lakers getting the number four pick helps them trading for Anthony Davis. We kind of talked about that to start the show. So they're obviously one of the big winners from last night. Speaking of investing years and years of time with no big reward, Cody's finally off the board of Game of Thrones Defenders. He is upset after what happened in Episode 5. What did you think about Episode 5?
Cody's upset. Why? He did. I thought the episode itself was a breathtaking, you know, hour, 75 minutes, whatever, of television. Now, I think there's easily, you know, parts to nitpick. I thought the Euron stuff was stupid. My wife and I disagree about how Cersei died. You know, her getting, you know, trampled by rocks. I didn't think that was, like, the coolest way for her to go out. But, I mean, that's pretty nitpicky. I thought, you know, us kind of having the POV of Arya kind of trying to escape that hell and kind of seeing the horrors of war firsthand, the moment with her and the Hound I thought was incredible. I personally enjoyed the kind of Clegane Bowl and the full circle nature there. And, you know, I mean, sacking the city and the fact that it was so visually stunning, I mean, I enjoyed it. Cody's a Cersei hive, right? So he's ticked about that, I assume.
I was just upset that Cersei didn't get one more big moment.
Jesse, he was the equivalent of 2016 losing to Vanderbilt, missing the Sugar Bowl, mad.
I was upset
on
Monday. I was very upset Monday morning.
He was on the verge of tears, but not the sad tears, the angry tears that you get whenever, you know, your brother beats you up when you're younger, or you get in a fight, or One of those things. That's how Cody was on Monday morning.
Cody, what do you want Cersei to do? I mean, she's been getting paid $1 million just to sip wine for the last two seasons anyway.
That's
not
my
like
problem.
She's really done anything.
That's my problem with it. I wanted her to have a bigger moment, and I thought the writing was poor with Cersei. I thought she was the best character on the show. And look, the more I look back at, on it on the episode, her death was fine. I was okay with her death. Going out with Jaime in her arms, she was vulnerable in that moment. You finally saw she was defeated. That was fine. I expected Cersei to die. I just wanted one more big moment. I mean,
don't think she ever had a good plan, though. And that was like her plan originally, which did work, was that she kind of stayed out of the fray and she just lied to everyone, and that worked. But then eventually the vino runs out and the clock was going to hit, zero when the dragons did show up, and she completely had no plan. Maybe the elephants would have helped, Cody. Maybe the elephants would have helped. Harry Strickland let her down.
I don't know, Jesse. I think if she had just killed Drogon at the end of the fourth episode,
I think she should have attacked at the end of episode four.
I told you that last week,
and you said maybe
they're going to start episode five that way.
They did.
Maybe they'll start episode five with Cersei attacking everybody.
I held out hope, and they didn't.
She got yet, and Danny's next.
Yeah, she's next. With the Arya POV stuff, I kind of thought I took that as it being a kind of a callback to all the times we've seen Jon Snow have that same type of reaction. I felt like her running in episode 5 was pretty similar to Jon Snow in episode 4 trying to fight the dragon and hide from the fire. I don't know if it was intended that way, but I noticed that it, basically from behind, I mean, their hair looks almost the same the way they keep it up. I just kept kind of thinking of Arya kind of as Jon Snow in that role in episode 5.
Yeah, I kind of took it as, Arya had that scene with the Hound, that the Hound was basically like, don't end up like me where your life is completely defined by revenge and killing. And so that, to this point, since the Faceless Man training and every, basically scene after that, that's what Arya has been, that almost like escaping the city was her, again, kind of finding another part of her humanity. She obviously was trying to save some people. That did not work. She did escape. It was very, on the nose in terms of the white horse. She gets Harry Strickland's horse. Whether she's the one that kills Danny or not, I do think she's obviously got a new name on her hit list now, because she just saw a terror, in the face of quote-unquote death that I don't think she expected.
Well, does that not go back against her not wanting to live that life of revenge anymore?
Oh, I think that she found some of that humanity, but the second she saw those horrors, she's like, no, I got a new, the Hound said, that's cool, but now I want to go kill Danny.
I left with her riding on the white horse thinking she was going to go back and tell Gendry she changed her mind. She wants to be a, not a family woman, but she wants to be more of a, hey, I need to get away from this war. It's not all it's cracked up to be. People dying is not that cool. Maybe she'll kill Danny in the process of it, but I think she's going to want to settle down with Gendry now.
I'm intrigued to find out. Gendry's happily waiting.
I mean, Cersei had all those scorpions, and all of a sudden Danny's just able to take them all out just out of nowhere. I mean, where did that come from? She was so vulnerable last week, and now she's just able to just burn all the scorpions.
At least she learned her lesson. She learned she had to come in high and then stay low and change angles. At least she learned.
Yeah, she did. She did the Harrenhal move, that they alluded to many seasons ago. That when Tywin's having that conversation with Arya in Harrenhal, that how the dragons get this thing, they just fly straight up and straight down. Those big scorpion crossbows never should have, been the almighty power that they were to begin with. I mean, if you fly behind them, they can't. You should be burning them like crazy, anyways. The fact that Rhaegal got yacked the way he did, that to me was just another narrative issue. In the storytelling, in this expedited season, I think that hopefully I have no idea if they're going to land this thing. How I hope, how others hope, whatever. But I did enjoy last week's episode 5 on the whole. As just an hour plus of television.
How do you want it to end this week?
I mean, I think I said last week. I mean, I'm going to sit on the Sansa hide, and I don't know if Sansa is going to actually end up. I don't think there's going to actually be an Iron Throne, you know, so to speak. So she may just be ruling the North. But you know, we started this deal with the Starks, and I think I'm going to ride with them and hope that they can, you know, come out quote unquote victorious. It will not surprise me at all if Snow is the one that kills Dany, heads back north, goes and meets up with Ghost and Tormund, and then the last scene of the show is very similar to the first scene of the show where we meet some kid or being or something that wakes up with blue eyes and we start this whole circle again.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Yeah, I like that. Scale of 1 to 10, what do you give this this season of Survivor? We haven't even talked about it. I haven't really been into it until the last couple episodes.
Yep. Rick Devins is a fun character, though, right?
Yeah, no, he's turned into the face of the season. I think he's probably going to win, right?
Yeah, I mean, he has a huge target on his back, but he clearly has the best resume. I think it's been good. It hasn't been nearly as good as the last couple seasons, and I think that's why there's been the way they've kind of done this whole Exile Island or whatever, you know, whatever they're calling it.
Extinction.
That's been stupid because they're waiting until now to finally bring somebody back. So that's like the one lady who went there first, who's like the maddest lady who's ever been on Survivor, who's just been like yelling at people for the last month on that island. I mean, I have no idea like why she's still even around. Like, she's got no shot at winning the game, hasn't seen a single thing that's happened, and yet she's still sitting there waiting for her chance to get back on. So there's a huge flaw in the mechanics of how they decided to use that deal. But Rick Devins has been fun. I'm you know, we'll see what happens. It hadn't been the all-star cast that I think they kind of hoped it would be, but it's been intriguing. Tonight's the finale. We'll see what happens.
Every week I watch, I'm like, no, I would just go home. I would not go to the edge of extinction. I'd be like, nope, I'm good. Going back home, or at least going to, like, I guess whatever villa they put up the jury members in. I'm sure they're living pretty good out there since they have to be there for elimination, so I think I just would have cashed out and said, I'm good. I'm not going
You would have gone and taken the hamburger.
Yeah.
That's what they all talk about. They're like, I want to go get the hamburger or steak.
And especially
it's like, yes, but now you've been up there for a month and you're still just sitting there.
Especially if you have no moves, like, you're not going to win. Like, you have zero chance of winning.
Yeah, 100%.
Was the Tennessee staff caught by surprise with Tate Ratledge picking Georgia, or is that something they kind of assumed was going to happen?
No, they knew kind of fully where they were in that deal. Tennessee had made up a lot of ground ever since Brent Key, Alabama's former offensive line coach, left to go meet up and team up with his buddy at Georgia Tech, Jeff Collins. So when he left, Tennessee kind of ascended into that number two spot ahead of Alabama. Obviously, it's well known. Tate's whole family is full of Tennessee fans. And Tate liked a lot about Tennessee. You know, he's close with some guys like, you know, Harrison Bailey, the quarterback commit. He likes Cooper Mays, so I think Tennessee's got a strong chance at landing. And he likes Jeremy. But in the end, he had a better relationship with Sam Pittman at Georgia. He just felt more comfortable at Georgia. And Georgia had kind of been sitting in the catbird seat for you know, the long time. So Tennessee just kind of wasn't able to get it across the finish line. That deal, I think, is pretty much done now. So, you know, they'll kind of shift their focus elsewhere. It certainly is another one that stings in terms of, you know, these local kids from Cade to, you know, Tate's only a couple hours down the road. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, you know, these guys that have Tennessee ties that are not ending up at Tennessee. But that's why it's going to take winning. I mean, you know, Jeremy and this staff, they have a bunch of guys who know how to recruit, but, you know, you can't sell, you know, beachfront property in you know, when you're sitting in the desert. So they need to start, you know, generating some wins, and they believe they can do that. They think that they can win, you know, 7-8 games this fall, and see what kind of momentum that might build.
Rivals has Art Green, 2020 JUCO cornerback that Tennessee picked up that same day, rated as a 4-star. He talked about how he's still going to continue to take visits to places like Georgia and Florida. Is Tennessee going to be able to hold off on him, or is it too early to say, like, when it comes to his recruitment?
Yeah, I think that's a bit too early, but I do think they got in. He was a guy that they were one of the early guys to offer him. You know, Tennessee is kind of going after several JUCO guys in this class, which is kind of an interesting shift. We all know the kind of, you know, the track record there is not always great, but they have had some success, specifically from Hutch. you know, with Alvin and Cordero Patterson. They're hoping that some of the JUCO guys they're bringing in this year in terms of Savion Lins and Darrell Middleton can really help them along the defensive line. In this class alone, now they already have three JUCO guys, or a couple JUCO guys, I guess, committed. I guess two or three with Jordan Davis, the former Alabama defensive end, and now Art Green. They're going after some others. So, you know, they're looking for instant impact guys, and we'll see how it kind of translates. Green is a super speedster, physical corner, can play probably a couple of different positions. The fact that Tennessee has kind of gotten in there early, I think at least will give them the advantage in terms of holding off, whether it's the Floridas or some of these schools. But like a lot of kids, especially JUCO kids, who maybe haven't been through the process and visited a lot of places, it's no surprise that he's going to continue to take some trips.
Seen a lot of talk about Savion Williams. You mentioned him. I saw a lot of talk about him being the real deal. Practice, is he jumping off the field to you too, or you know, should Tennessee maybe pump the brakes a little bit, I guess, on the praise?
Well, he hadn't gotten here yet.
Oh,
okay. I mean, he gets here. Now the praise is that when he's been here a couple times in terms of just visits.
Okay.
He's looked good. He looked good kind of at the end of his workout stuff up at Lackawanna up in Pennsylvania. But, I mean, they're expecting Savion to come in and not just contribute, but like be a dude on day one, because they just, frankly, you guys know the deal. I mean, you look at the depth chart, there's just not a lot of known quantities up front on the defensive line. I mean, Emmett Gooden, the former JUCO guy, I think he's going to have a big senior season, but then he obviously needs some help next to him. So Savion is a guy, you look at him, and he looked about 35. He's got a big old beard. He's a big dude, capable of playing, whether it's, you know, nose tackle or even just kind of strong side defensive tackle. So, you know, they're counting on him and Darrell Middleton of being able to contribute right away when they get here in the fall. Savion will be here. You know, he'll arrive at the end of this month. So the rest of the signees that aren't here, they all get here right around Memorial Day, and then they'll hit the ground running with Fitz's strength and conditioning program and then some of the off-season 7-on-7 stuff.
Please let the record note that I am not an idiot when it comes to Savion Williams. I'm just checked out on football for now. That's why I bring Jesse on to feed the audience and feed me knowledge. So Jesse, I'm not an idiot. I'm just checked out. Okay,
man, you're living. You're enjoying the NBA throne. Survive. Right. You got a lot on your plate, John.
Yeah.
I'm just here to help. I'm here to help you out on the margin.
And that's why we bring you on. What are you working on VolQuest?
We got lots of recruiting stuff. I also kind of had my last big pro football focus piece come out on Monday. The last piece is kind of looking at the defense and kind of what the stats and different data kind of tells us about how Tennessee finished a year ago and what maybe kind of some projecting in terms of 2019. So had three different pieces on that, one on Garantano, one on the offense, one on the defense. Be sure to go check those out.
All right, Jesse, appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Jesse Simons and VolQuest in the Rivals Network. What are you grinning about? You think I'm an idiot too?
No, I was going to ask him if he thought that the new deal was a good deal.
Oh, Are you weighing on whether or not you should purchase this this ticket package?
Yeah, but I didn't want to say anything because I thought maybe you had already asked him and maybe I missed it.
Oh, no.
And so I didn't want to repeat the question if you had.
I didn't want to ask again.
I was going to ask his thoughts on that. But now he's gone, so I don't know. Doesn't really matter now.
Too late.
I'm sure he thinks it's a fair deal.
I mean, he gave some really good answers on the Tennessee stuff. Like, I only had a couple questions, but I mean, he really hammered home the Tennessee
stuff.
He's
good at that.
I was more focused on the Game of Thrones stuff and the Survivor stuff, but
I checked out at Survivor. I didn't know what you guys were talking about.
You didn't check back in ever for the football?
I did for a second, and then I don't know what happened. It kind of spaced out.
I had seen a lot of people talking about Savion Williams, though.
The defensive tackle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, he's not actually on campus yet. I was like, oh.
I'm interested.
Where the hell is all this talk coming from?
I'm interested in what our D-line does this year, because it seems like a position group that could take a step back.
If they take a step back, they're going to fall off a cliff.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least last year you had some veterans.
When I think of the defensive line, I think of there's only one way to move, and that's forward.
Even with new guys who are not,
I mean,
upperclassmen.
I don't know. We'll talk about it next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Radio, come say it to our face, you Yankee bastard.
about the Vol defensive line. Sparked by some Savion Williams comments. People are saying he is going to be the real deal. We'll see. You said you're worried about the defensive line taking a step back.
Yes, I am, which I don't disagree with you saying that would be off a cliff because they weren't good anyway. But I'm just saying we lost a lot of veterans, seniors, upperclassmen.
Is that a bad thing?
Perhaps not, if they sucked anyway. Perhaps it's better just to have guys who are younger, guys who have been in the system a year and are growing and developing. I still don't expect to have great production there, though.
I'm looking at, I would rather get some fresh blood in there rather than sit here and still be talking in 2019 of, hey, this could be the year that Kyle Phillips takes a step forward.
Might as well start new, huh?
This could be the year that he becomes a five-star like we all thought he was going to be. Like, no thanks. I would rather have the freshman, the sophomore, the JUCO transfer or whatever. Aubrey Solomon, you know, put him in there from Michigan. I'd rather just try some new blood and see if something works rather than hoping that now is the time that your four and five stars start playing like four and five stars.
You'd rather have that guy right now than Kyle Phillips?
Yeah. Know what I have with Kyle Phillips, and no offense, everyone says the guy's a great guy, and he made a couple plays. I mean, he had moments. He had some moments, but I'd rather try something new. Let's see what somebody else has got.
I mean, why not? Yeah. Because we went 5-7 with Kyle Phillips. So throwing him in, I don't think it changes the record in a positive way necessarily. So, sure, see what we got. We're in rebuild mode.
I mean, Jarrell Taylor, I think, is someone who could be really good this year, though. Like, I do think he's trending in the right direction. I do love what I saw from him in the Georgia game. I mean, if you remember that game against good tackles, he was in the backfield nonstop. He was in the backfield on one play and caused a fumble that led to a touchdown. Funny enough, not for Tennessee, but for Georgia. He had a couple of big-time plays. I do think he is someone who could get better, make another step forward this year. But outside of that, I'm okay with starting new. Alexis Johnson, cool. Appreciate your contributions. VFL.
See ya.
Kyle Phillips, same way. Great man. What did he win? The Posman Trophy?
Mm-hmm. What's that for?
I don't remember, but I feel like he won it, right?
It's for being...
Then I remember he said something about Jalen Hurts or something. I don't know. Congratulations.
Wasn't he really good in the Auburn game?
Maybe. Gongbo?
I can do without Kongbo.
Enjoyed your piece on The Athletic. You had a cool pick six that one time. I think he played pretty well against Auburn, too, before he got hurt, if I'm not mistaken.
He did play well against Auburn.
But everyone else, I'd rather let's roll the dice on some new guys.
I'd still rather have players returning.
I'm definitely more excited for the Junkyard Dog.
I am excited to see what he can do. He's a big guy. He looks like he should be in the NFL.
J.J. Watt said, draft him right now.
I hope it works out. I hope he pans out.
I don't want to say I'm out on the JYD because I'm a big fan of the JYD. No. Hold on.
Come on.
No. Wow. Where are you going? I'm talking about his football skills.
Already down on the JYD.
I'm talking about him lying to us.
What happened?
He tweeted, hey, help me get so X amount of likes on this Twitter, on this post for my class.
Yeah, he's a Gen Zer.
I gave him the boost. He said if he hit 500 in one day, he was going to give us a new dunk video. He got over 1,000. I went back and looked, and he had deleted the tweet about the dunk video.
Maybe he couldn't get up.
He hustled us.
Maybe
Coach probably told him not to be jumping that high anymore.
I mean, maybe he didn't mean to hustle us. Maybe he couldn't get up. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm not saying I'm out on the JYD. Still love the guy. I'm just saying that's a red flag.
I don't think he lied to us. I'm not going to assume he lied. I'm going to assume he couldn't get up.
That amount of weight coming down on an ankle would not be good for the JYD.
That's true. He could have rolled an ankle, could have sprained, broken one. I mean, it could have been bad.
Pruitt probably shut that down immediately.
Now, Junkyard Dog, what are you doing trying to slam a basketball? I mean, you're not Admiral Schofield as much as you'd like to be. Cut that out. Delete that tweet. And get back on the football field. All right.
Maybe that's what happened, or maybe he went to dunk and he realized, hey, I've put on a little extra muscle and pounds, and
maybe it was a Candace Parker dunk, if you
maybe
will.
Maybe his 20% dunk, 80% layup turned into 100% layup.
That's my bet. It's not that he lied to us, but that he's not able to dunk the ball. And he just fell short, and he's like, well, this is embarrassing, that he had to delete his tweet.
You can tell when it's not 10 feet, Parker.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Call his high school coach. Hey, can maybe we lower this goal 6 inches? I promised people on the internet I would dunk for them, and my hamstrings are a little tight. I haven't stretched out. Been doing all these football workouts. Can you help me? Have you seen the videos of the JYD singing?
No, I have not.
Wow, the JYD is just a renaissance man.
Have you ever seen the videos of him singing?
No.
He's in like a choir in school.
Oh, really?
My boy's got some pipes.
Yeah.
If he's at least solid on the football field, he will be a star here.
He'll be a very likable guy.
If he's at least serviceable.
Do you think you could ever dunk a basketball on a 10-foot goal if you trained the rest of your life for it? Like, if that had to be your ultimate life achievement, and obviously it's not going to happen when you're 70, so let's say you had to train for the next, I don't know, 5 years.
I feel like...
I think if all you did was train to dunk a basketball for 5 years, you'd end up being able to do it.
You think the average guy could do it if he trained, you know, lost the weight, I don't know what you got to do to train today, jumping jacks.
Once you develop the leg strength to get up there, the next half is dropping a ball.
I wonder if the average guy could do that, if that's one of those things. Like, if you just got in the shape you had to get in, became a real athlete, and trained to dunk, if the average guy could dunk in his life.
I mean, average guy's probably, what, 5'11", 6 foot? Your arms are what?
Three or so feet.
Good 2 feet, maybe. I mean, you could rely on to dunk the basketball. I mean, so you'd have to basically just jump 30 inches, right? I mean, is that math check out?
I mean, if they you just vertical jumped every day.
6 plus 2 plus 2. Yeah, I mean, I think you could get up to another 24, 25 inches for sure.
They have those, like, it's like a workout machine or something that you basically just, like, strap two giant rubber bands on your shoulders and like, basically learn to jump up and, like, get the explosiveness in your legs.
Now, your knees might give out on you before at a certain age. Like, I think your knees might betray you. Maybe the training would take a toll on your body and you wouldn't be able to do it, but...
You probably got to cap it at, like, 38.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, for me, I'd only have about... I'm saying 35. For me, I got, like, 9 years to train for this.
And you just need to dunk once?
Just one real dunk. A solid dunk. Look at me. Do you think in 9 years I could do it?
No.
You think I'd die first or what?
I just think you would give up.
Well, yeah. I mean, assuming I committed to it, I still don't think I could do it. My answer is no on average guy.
Maybe not. I think you just need to hit a 30-inch vertical, and then you could do it.
That's quite a vertical for an average guy.
Let's do some. I see some people doing those on box jumps.
I think you need more than a 30-inch vertical.
I don't know. I'm tired of talking about this. Let's go to break.
Thanks.
Goose tweets in saying there are NBA players that can't dunk. Average guy ain't getting it done. Doesn't care how much they try. He's on your side. He says not happening.
You think you could do it, though?
Me? No, I mean, maybe if I wouldn't have hurt my ankle back in the day, you know, I tore some ligaments in my foot. But that's the only thing holding me back from it.
What NBA player can't dunk?
In the height. Oh, I'm sure there are NBA players that can't dunk. No? Yes, there are.
Like TJ McConnell? Can TJ McConnell dunk?
Not.
Yeah, he's a backup point guard for the Sixers. He's like 6'1" and white. Like, I mean, he comes to my mind when I think of guys who can't dunk. Like,
just Google white NBA players.
Like J.J. Barea, yeah, like Parker points out, he probably can't dunk. But I think he's not devoting all of his time to dunking. He is trying to devote his time to being good at basketball.
Dunking is not a requirement for being in the NBA.
Oh, I think it should be.
Here's a video of T.J. McConnell winning a dunk contest.
Never mind, he won a dunk contest, said Parker. He can dunk. Was like one of those...
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an NBA player that cannot dunk.
Yeah. I agree. I think 99.9% of people can.
Yeah, but there are guys who can't. I would guarantee it.
Us four.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure most of them can, but it's got to be a few who can't. So we're going to that?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes. What'd you pull?
I think we've done this before.
Let me see.
Has someone been putting topics back in the hat? Have we done that before, or did we just talk about it ourselves?
You wrote these, so maybe you've already thought about it before.
Well, what's the topic?
If all but 20 of your Facebook friends died, would that affect you deeply?
No.
Yes. I'm going yes. So you're saying, like, I'm imagining there's anybody who's you're somewhat close to in life is your Facebook friend, right?
No.
For the most part.
No.
No?
My mom is not on Facebook.
Okay.
My dad deletes his sometimes. Sometimes he is on. I don't know if he's currently on it.
For the most part, my entire family is on Facebook. My dad isn't, but everyone else is. For the most part.
One of my grandmothers technically is. My sister is. My aunts are.
All.
But if we're talking 20 people, I'd be just fine.
Pretty much everyone that I consider an acquaintance, at least, is my friend on Facebook, for the most part.
How about you get to pick the 20 that live?
So I get to pick the 20 that live. Yeah, I'll still be affected because I'm killing everyone else.
No, you're just picking who lives. They're being killed as part of the Facebook trial run.
If so, facto, I am making that really tough decision at the 17-18 mark of I only got two more spots to save.
He did bring me ice cream that one time.
I mean, I got one spot left, and I got Ben, Cody, and Parker, and Cam all sitting here. One spot left.
It's disappointing. Hate to be the last guy.
Just kidding. So you'd be disappointed if you were 20th, and yeah. I'm leaving you off the 20.
Yeah. Just kill me. If you're going to put me at 20, I'd rather you kill me.
I'd appreciate the 20 slot.
You're basically saying you're okay with everyone but 20 people in your life dying, is essentially what you're saying.
No, because I'm not Facebook friends with everyone in my life.
I think most people are Facebook friends with most people in their life. Is that fair to say?
Most people probably are, yeah.
You're basically saying you only need 20 people left.
Could you get around it if you told some of your close friends to delete Facebook before the purge?
Hey, you're going to need to delete this. You don't want Facebook, trust me.
I got to pick 20 people, and it's going to be a lot easier if some of you guys just delete.
I think my mom would rather die. I think my mom would rather go down with Facebook.
Really?
Facebooking. I think she would rather go down Facebooking and take her chances that she's one of the 20. I mean, she would be, so I guess she'd be right, but she'd take her chances.
I'd save my immediate family on Facebook, and that might only count for – I mean, that's got to only be like 8 people for me that are on Facebook.
To me, the question
is – I get 12 friends.
To me, the question is, are you okay with everyone except 20 people in your life dying, essentially?
I'd be fine with that, yeah.
It wouldn't affect you?
Well, I mean, it would be boring because – normal people that you run into on a daily basis. Like, it'd be kind of quiet around the station, you know, but Like, I mean, like after talk sports, so we just there'd be nobody else here at the station the rest of the day, but except Bear. But you know, so that would be weird.
Figured you'd shout out Nate before Bear, but okay.
No, I'm saying the rest of the day.
Oh, okay.
I was gotcha. Saying after the show.
Gotcha.
But I don't think I'm Facebook friends with those. So I don't know. This is just Facebook. This is not everyone you know dying. It's just
I know,
Facebook.
But I'm saying that I think most people are going to have most people in their life as Facebook friends.
Yeah, but like there's still people walking around Market Square. You
and
know?
We're not even saying whether or not it you would do it, whether you would.
No, you don't kill them. They just die.
No, I'm saying like the question is like for $1 billion, would you be okay with this? It's just basically would it affect you?
Oh, I don't think it would affect me.
Are you a psychopath?
I don't think so.
Are you a sociopath? Do you feel feelings? Do we need to run through your 20 people and then realize like who doesn't make the cut and who you're killing?
That would be a fun exercise.
Maybe the rest of the show, you just, well, after headlines.
I'll figure out my cutoff.
Yeah.
And see if it would affect me if those people died.
Or maybe it's a post-show exercise where you just go through your Facebook friends and you select your 20 and then you realize, oh, wow, I didn't say
wow, number so-and-so. 21. And I really don't think I'm going to be like, oh, wow, number 21, number 22. I really care about those people. I really don't think I will. No, I wouldn't want them to die. I'm just saying I don't think I'd be affected if they did.
What do you think, Ben? Are you thumbs up or thumbs down? Are you affected deeply?
Ben is affected deeply. So you guys are saying you have more than 20 people in your life that you really, really care about.
My entire family is on Facebook. Like that's how I keep up with most of my like aunts and uncles
there's
and cousins.
But we're talking 20 people. Going to be some tough cuts on aunts.
Some people have smaller families. I think.
Are you obligated to save your aunts over like your good friends? I feel like you got to save your good friends over your aunts. Or no?
That's tough. No, I think you got to save your aunts. Aunts too close to the family. You gotta save your aunts.
Even if they're older?
I got a big-ass family, man.
Well, yeah, see, if you got a big-ass family, it's different. If you got a huge family, like if your parents each have four siblings, that's tougher. Then your number has to be like 40. For me, I got a relatively small family. So once I save them, I'm saying like if I get to keep 12 friends, I'm probably going to be all right.
I think I'm going to be deeply affected, but I think the biggest hurdle my mind's going to have to overcome is do I save my entire family? Do I value my friends? Like, do I be honest with myself?
Get rid of a couple great aunts.
Well, I mean, like, do I value my friends more than, you know, a big portion of my family? I think the answer would probably be yes, and I would have to act accordingly, and I'd have to live with that.
The whole point of this exercise, I'm just trying to figure out how much do you really give a damn about the 21st most important person in your life?
I think when it came down to, Aunt Jerry and Patty.
Well, you don't have to name names. Yeah, I mean, come on, Ben.
Wow.
See ya.
Hope they're not hearing that.
That's the Kentucky cousins. They're probably fine.
Yeah, they're probably listening to KSR.
Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.